The conversation continues. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is multiple Tony Award-winning Broadway producer and theater lover and theater investor and theater enthusiast, Wendy Fetterman. Wendy, I'm so happy that you're back on the show because hopefully your appearance means that there's some good news to share.
Lisa, it's a pleasure. It's been too long. Well, it's certainly the most positive news that it's been going forward, as we are hopeful for September, a fall reopening, starting of some of the shows. And, you know, the main words are vaccine. The more people that get vaccinated not only in our industry, but obviously in the New York area, the metropolitan area, and around the country and around the world, and people are feeling comfortable and we are allowed to go back out and do the things that we miss doing, especially live events and being with other people, the closer we become and reopening becomes a reality.
So, Wendy Fetterman, tell us what you're hearing, because I know that you know. Are we going to have to prove that we've had a vaccine to attend a Broadway show?
You know, Lisa, that is something that I'll tell you that we don't know specifically, that has not been decided yet. The same way that we don't know whether we're going to have that if when we travel. You know, again, these are things that as we get closer will be determined. You know, we're not even sure at this point what the regs are going to be for people that work in the theater itself. You know, will it be just, a quick testing? I went to an event last week where it was a 20-minute test, and I had to stay isolated in a space, and I came out fine and was able to go in.
Really?
Wonderful event at the Park Armory called Sound, where you were socially distant, and it was David Byrne, I believe, created it, and you danced, but you were away from people. It was quite fun and quite wonderful. Again, nothing we can do on Broadway because we cannot open on Broadway with social distancing. It doesn't work. But again, these are things that for Broadway, we don't know what the regulations would be. As far as an audience is concerned, I'm not quite sure. What I think that wearing a mask will be required initially, absolutely. How long will that last? I don't know. I mean,
So if we're wearing a mask and the average show is 2 to 3 hours with an intermission, mm-hmm. and maybe by now there have been some investment in better ventilation in some of these spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, don't you think that that's enough for people to be able to either decide to take a risk or not? They don't have to go to a Broadway show.
You're asking me. I'd sit in the show right now. I would have more. I honestly would have more concern taking my mask off and eating in an indoor restaurant than I would be being masked and sitting and watching an entertainment. You're going to go in the theater. Yes, the HVAC systems, the theaters are, you know, our owners are working on that, so the theaters will be safer. There will be a tremendous amount of protocols in place, which, of course, theater goers will know and will be delineated. All your listeners should know that when they do choose to go to theater, when we reopen, it will be totally safe for them. We are concerned not only for the safety of our audiences, but we have our actors and our backstage crew who are not only close to each other, but changing their outfits, sweating, moving, dancing. So safety, and our people in the box office, the crews, you know, safety is going to be a number one factor. So please know that when we do open, it will be safe. And we are so looking forward to our metropolitan audiences supporting us until our tourist audiences come back. So be assured that it will be safe and we're not going to open until it is. But I feel that it will be fine. I think it's a matter of, you know, and it's baby steps. You know, small things are opening. Live events are right now at about 33% with social distancing. But again, these are events that can afford to do so for what their productions are. I think we're coming into this nice time of year where there are going to be a lot of outdoor events, which will be great. And again, getting people back to enjoying being with other people and being entertained by live performers with all fingers and toes crossed, being able and seeing Broadway theaters and shows start to reopen in the fall. You know, in September.
Well, one of the obvious things, Wendy Fetterman, one of the obvious things, and we spoke about this, but it didn't happen. It didn't materialize. But similar to the middle seat controversy on planes, you know, one of the obvious things is simply to and we've done this with restaurants, is to just have a fewer capacity and just look, the theater industry.
We can't afford it, Lisa, because, you know, we're not going to give you, we're in a restaurant, you can have half your staff and buy half the amount of food. We can't do that with a show. You know, we're a union industry. Every Broadway show, I believe we have 14 unions. So we're not going to, you know, we're not, there are only so many costs that we can, you know, cut back, and we're not going to give you less of an entertainment than the show that you were used to seeing. So we have to be able to know that when we open, we have the ability to sell 100% capacity. It doesn't, we don't know, you know, how many tickets we will sell. We hope a good amount, but it is not economically feasible at all to reopen until we are given the permission by the government that we are allowed to do so.
You know, and that's interesting because I'm thinking about theater, and I, you know, I guess it's not considered to be the same priority as airlines. Airlines were subsidized in the bad time. The stockholders are making a fortune in the good times, and they were able to stay open because of the, you know, the compelling interest of society in being able to get from place to place. I'm just thinking about it. So New York City
and government, the government and where the arts funding has stood in line. And, you know, of course, the airlines were probably among the first to get some financial subsidies. But, you know, we now have the Save Our Stages Act that our Senator Schumer helped run through. But there's still problems with the portals. You were supposed to be able to apply last week for this particular grant for theaters and different people in the theater, live theater industry can apply for it, which will be extremely helpful. But they still haven't fixed the portal for application. So, you know, unfortunately, the arts are kind of, we have been low on the totem pole, which is kind of sad because, you know, we're not humans without the humanities.
Well, not only that, it's a driver of commerce in New York City, unlike anything else.
Huge. And there is finally been recognition of that on the mayor's side. And not only in our city, but just think about the cities around the country where their hubs are for their big theaters and those restaurants and those, you know, the economy around there. So it's not only, again, Broadway, which brings billions of dollars to New York City. And as the governor, the mayor, the governor has said, there is no New York City without Broadway.
Right.
And the pulse is just not there. You know, fortunately, it's getting a little busier. Restaurants are starting to reopen. People are coming back, which is nice. But that it's kind of like the heartthrob. It's not beating enough when you go between, you know, let's say 54th Street to 42nd Street on the west side. It's just missing its pulse. And we look so
Wendy Fetterman, who's going to make the decision? Is it going to be a vote? Is it going to be the Niederlander organization? Who's going to make the decision?
From the governor, from Albany, they have to give us the thumbs up that, okay, you can have 1,000 people in a room. You can have 1,500 people in a room.
Okay.
So that's the number one. Then it's really each individual show. You know, we're all our own. We will all, in conjunction, of course, with the theater owners, and we're all involved in the trade organization, the Broadway League. But every show will make the appropriate decision. And just remember, when we do get the thumbs up to open, we need to put tickets on sale. We need to get cast into rehearsal. You know, it's not just going to be like with a restaurant. Oh, okay, we'll buy some food. We'll get our people. We'll turn the lights on. We're open in 3 days. It's going to take a couple of months. Weeks, months to really get into that position to open the doors again once we do get the green light. And that's sort of the conversations that are going on now is, of course, the preparedness for what we will do and how it may be, but we don't know the when. And, of course, there are just protocols we don't know. You know, the news is changes every day, what's happening with the J&J vaccine now. You know, we're all fingers crossed that that's not going to slow down vaccinations. But, again, we'll know more next week, and we know more the week after. So there's really, at this moment, nothing definitive. Like I said, it's great that we've got some 33% capacity events taking place because it's a start. And again, thank goodness rolling into the good weather where people will be able to be outdoors and enjoy outdoor entertainment more. And hopefully we'll just have less cases. I mean, that's really what it's all about. And
that
people will feel comfortable and confident to come out. I know that people are missing it. The event that I went to at the Armory sold out in 4 hours. Anyone that I know that's hosting or starting to do these type of events, of course, at reduced capacity, they're selling out immediately because people are starved to be entertained, to have that energy, which we cannot get. As great as entertainment can be from a screen, it's not like being, quote unquote, in the room where it happens.
Right. For sure. And speaking of that, we're chatting with Tony Award-winning producer Wendy Fetterman. What shows do you think are likely to open up in September?
It is so hard to say, and everybody's really holding their cards close to the chest in terms of what everybody wants to do. If I was just to look at the different shows that are around, Hamilton loves, you know, it's such a big event that possibly that's a show that would like to come in. You've got this great little musical, Six, which was opening the day that March 12th that Broadway had the shutdown.
Oh,
you know, it's a fun rock musical about the six wives of Henry VIII, and no intermission, 80 minutes. Audience skews a bit on the younger side, although I personally love it. But again, maybe that's one. You know, what's Wicked going to do? What's Phantom going to do? What's
I don't know.
You know, the Ain't Too Prouds, the Jaggeds. Again, every show will make its own decision when it wants to roll in. There are some wonderful new plays coming in. I'm on the producing team of this beautiful play called Thoughts of a Colored Man, which is just a wonderful, you know, bringing a new playwright to Broadway with this wonderful cast. And we're also hoping to come in the fall season. But again, you know, none of us want to plant firmly on a date at this moment, because right now the news outside of our control is changing too quickly. So again, everybody is hopeful and looking at the fall. And you're not going to see every show reopen, you know, again in within a week of each other, because everybody wants to give everyone a little bit of space and time.
I see.
Again, it's for the show. Every show will decide when it's the right time. Maybe a smaller cast show can open sooner because there's less rehearsal time, or maybe not. Again, you know, it will be very unique to each show of when the appropriate time and moment is for that reopening and marketing, you know, the marketing, the getting out to our audiences and letting you know, hey, we are coming back, and getting getting our tickets on sale appropriately. So there, you know, there's a lot of pieces in this puzzle to get it all going, but the goal is the fall.
And one other thing, Wendy Fetterman, tell us about the Tony Awards this season.
Because in my closet for a long time, Lisa.
Oh, I mean, are the Tony Awards going to be awarded in person at Radio City?
You know, we don't know. Again, I could only surmise from my understanding is that it's just been decided that it would be better all around to have the awards closer to the time of when shows will be reopening. So when let's look at it this way. If you're home and you're watching the Tonys and you're enjoying a show, a number that you're watching, and if you can go on your phone, your iPad, whatever, and say, okay, oh, I can buy my tickets now, and you're not waiting 6 months or a year to see it. So we're all sort of sensing that, especially since some of us, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be nominated on six shows, but that some of us who really we don't know exactly what the date is. It seems that the thought right now is that it will be closer to, I don't know if I would say in August or September, or maybe around the time of Broadway coming back. So it celebrates, it's part of a celebration of the reopening of Broadway as well. And I certainly would love to be there. I'm hopeful. I'm, of course, you watch all the award shows. I see with the Academy Awards, they're going to let just the nominees be in that room. I would like to think if the awards are closer to the fall that we will all be able to be there, and possibly with a fuller audience. Again, these are just details that we don't know. You know, the nominees know who they are. And everybody, we're just anxious to, you know, to get back. I mean, get back on stage and for me to just be back in that, as you said, I'm an avid theater goer.
Right.
And I have watched, and I am going to anything anybody is doing, you know, test me, put me in a separate room. I don't care what I have to do. I just want to see live performance, because that's to me just the ultimate in entertainment.
Yeah. Richfield Playhouse here in Richfield has been doing some live shows.
Fantastic. A lot of the theater, smaller ones are. I know Bucks County has been doing some stuff. Maybe, you know, other theaters are starting to, again, do some, you know, social distancing in the audience, and probably very small one or two handers. And that will change as the comfort level changes. And again, that each, each state allows for more people to be in a room. You know, and that's the other thing, you know, for our touring productions, again, that we will have to look at when the shows start going back out on tour.
Right.
Because, you know, in Broadway, at least, we are under New York State rules and laws, and we'll all go by, I guess, certain regulations. It's going to be a bit different because obviously what's going on in New York is not what's going on in Florida or Texas or
right.
California. So, again, that's a whole different segment of our industry, a very important part of our industry, profitable and as well as keeping tens of thousands of people, if not more, employed around the country, that we will have to be careful on how that works in coordination with all of the different major theaters where our casts will be touring. And just know, the league has about 40 committees, the Broadway League, which is our trade organization. So there are conversations going on daily. There isn't a day that I'm not turning on a Zoom informational event or strategizing event or the numerous just smaller groups that I'm on with actors, other producers, other people, even in TV and film. But everybody really talking with each other of how are you doing it? How are we going to do it? What's your information? What have you learned? As well as we're all talking with health officials. You know, it's going to be a very important to have coordination with public health as well, you know, in safely getting our theaters open. And then, of course, on the marketing side for Broadway, there'll be a lot of conversations going on in the hospitality industry. You know, Broadway, restaurants, the hotels in the
yes.
area, there will certainly
yes.
be concerted efforts. You know, if you remember I think it was the 80s, the old I Love New York campaign, you know,
right.
there will be something structured similarly, I'm sure, to say, right, you know, welcome back. You know, we're here. We miss you. You missed us. Come
right.
on back. And again, these are things that will all be, you know, all be
well,
planned
know,
out.
We're chatting with Wendy Fetterman, who is, as you just heard, multiple, not only award winning, but now award nominee for so many wonderful investments. You know, you could literally draw a line between her interest in a show and the fact that you get to see it on the stage, which is pretty remarkable as a legacy, Wendy, I have to say. But I'm thinking about all of this, and this is what I'm thinking, and what do I know, right? I'm just a complete Broadway ticket holder consumer.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I'm thinking, Wendy, when you're in the room yes. that it happens and people consult
yes.
you for your opinion. I think that mask wearing is a non-negotiable, and that the ushers...
Yes.
You know, before you're seated, should be able to, you know, make sure that everyone's wearing a mask. There'll be idiots who take it off in the dark. We know this. But I think there needs to be some peer pressure. If you're sitting next to someone not wearing a mask, that it's encouraged for people. Just like you can't use cell phones anymore in the theater, you have to put your mask on. Otherwise, you'll be asked to leave. Period. End. I also think that the ventilation should happen and that that's important. But I honestly think short and then you're done. Because we're not going to have mandatory vaccines in this country. It's not happening. It's not happening in Connecticut. It's not going to happen
right.
in Iowa for sure.
Right.
And so I think people, you'll put a disclaimer on the ticket. You know, the lawyers will get involved and they'll say, you know, by the way, we're still in this pandemic, COVID-19. You walk in the theater at your own risk. And that's it. You either want to go to the show and sit in a room with people or you don't.
Absolutely.
What?
There'll be checkpoints coming in. And just know something.
Yeah.
South Korea, which is a big theater town in Seoul, Korea, they were shut down 2 weeks. They've been running Phantom of the Opera and other theaters.
Oh,
Australia is open 100%.
Well, Australia didn't get COVID. Well, Australia didn't get COVID. They really didn't. They had a handful of cases.
They contained it.
They kept it under control.
But there's mask wearing and everybody's following the rules. Again, it's totally, this is totally doable. It is absolutely doable. You know, again, will we be more, everything that I've been going to, even in restaurants now, right? It's paperless. You don't get a menu. You put your phone up on that plastic.
Right.
Right. So that, I again, maybe there'll be a different way of handling the playbills. But again,
don't let me lose my playbill, Wendy.
No, we're not getting rid of it. But maybe you will pick it up instead of someone handing it to you. I just think we are coming into a more touchless world, not even just in theaters, but everywhere now, entering into buildings. I think we're just going to be in a more touchless society. So, you know, we're not spreading germs in that way, because I know, like, I'm sure like you, we're all walking around with our little you know, bottles of scrubby stuff to make sure that we're but masks, you know, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I'll ever get on a plane without a mask again.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Now. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yes. So I don't think it's an issue for I don't think that will be an issue for a lot of theater goers. I really don't. It's a non-invasive situation. And again, yes, because not only was phone use, you know, discouraged, again, it's going to be not only for ushers, but, you know, it will be as when you're on a plane or even just getting in an elevator or walking into a building. If someone doesn't have a mask on, I'll be first to say to them,
open your mouth.
Excuse me.
Right.
Put your mask.
Put your mask on. That's it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that just speaks to a societal issue even more than being in a theater. I think it's just being anywhere where we're going to be in large groups or in groups up until a certain amount of time passes.
Has passed,
whenever
and
that
we're
is,
over
that,
this. Yes.
Exactly. But yes. You know what?
Thanks,
I didn't
Wendy.
I didn't have a cold this year. Did you have a cold? Maybe there's something
Never.
To be said for wearing
Never.
Masks.
In fact, it's funny. I sneezed a week or two ago because it's actually spring and allergy season.
Allergy season.
I remarked upon it. I'm like, wow, that's what it feels like to sneeze. I haven't sneezed in a year.
Right.
Which, by the way, is another conversation about how we don't want to allow our body to get too pampered and too preventative of germs because then we'll get socked when we least expect it. There is a balance. We do need to touch each other and be in society. It's actually part of having a healthy human body, but that's another conversation.
Well, again,
it
that's
is.
Why I think live
it
theater
is.
Is so important because, to your point, it's about the energy of being in
it
a
is.
Room with people. You know, I have seen some of my own shows so many dozens and dozens of times, and even though it's the same material, all of that, the fact that every audience is different, the energy in the room is different, that every experience is different because it's a different group of people. And
yes.
that's
yes.
part of why there is no replacement for live theater. Whatever happens or the future of a movie theater is one thing, but, you know, it has really gotten easy to watch great entertainment on our screens. The Academy, you know, rules now are different. I think for winning an Oscar now, you don't have to premiere in a theater. You know, they've changed those rules. Obviously, they had to. But you're just not going to replace the experience of that exchange of energy with not only with your actors, but how often is it because you hear a ripple of laughter down there and then it starts there and it moves around, you know, just that wild feeling. Why do we go to concerts? We can listen to the music at home of a band or a performer we love because we want to feel that charge that
energy.
We get. That's life.
That's right.
It's like hugging the friend. You know, you haven't seen for a year. And finally, we're seeing people. And we're going, all right, I've been vaccinated. I'm wearing my mask. Can we hug? Is it okay?
Can we hug?
Yeah, can we hug? That's
all right, Wendy Fetterman. So here's to a hug. Here's to a hug. Next time
friend.
I get to see you, we're going to have a big hug together. Wendy Fetterman,
especially
Tony.
Going into a Broadway theater.
Especially. I can't wait
yes.
for that first seat. Wendy Fetterman, thank you so much for being on the show today. And, you know, you're the best and God bless. And we'll be together soon in a theater for sure.
Lisa,
Wendy
when
Fetterman
I have information
on the
that's more that's really pertinent or that's really about I've got some great news and here are some dates. I'm going to let you know. And then we'll
absolutely.
Really
for sure. And we can't wait for that. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.